Continue to study the book of Matthew and hear what Jesus has to say to us. Today, we're going to look at, start looking at, chapter 23 of Matthew. And Jesus begins this chapter by giving us a warning, and he's doing it through the crowds and the disciples, but it's a warning for us just the same. Then after verse 12, Lord willing, next week we'll start to dig into some of these. Jesus starts to give these woes to the Pharisees. And woe to you, hypocrites. That's also a warning for us, but it's definitely for the leaders. So let me read, and I'll pray in just a minute, and I'll read. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message that you've given us. In this case, a warning that we need to be careful of. And I pray, God, that you will grant us wisdom and understanding by your Spirit, which is something that you promise us. So help us to be able to take these things and apply them to what you want us to know. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 23, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to the disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on your earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." As I mentioned, Matthew 23 is broken into two parts. The first part, first 12 verses, Jesus is addressing the crowds. And specifically, and the disciples. And then specifically, later on, he talks to the scribes and Pharisees directly. Now, Jesus is giving the people a warning about the Pharisees. And I'm going to divide this into three parts, where he warns them about the leaders' lack of sincerity, their lack of sympathy, and their lack of humility. And so we'll start with a lack of sincerity. Back to verse 1. When Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them." They're probably still in the temple area. And so where Jesus has been talking to the Pharisees in the previous chapters. Remember, the Pharisees are asking him questions. Well, it wasn't just the Pharisees. The Herodians and the Sadducees were trying to trap him as well. But I'm assuming that when he talks to the crowd and the disciples specifically here, that there are Pharisees in attendance. They wouldn't leave him alone, so they wanted to know what he was going to say. But what Jesus is pointing out to the crowd is that the Pharisees were not to be trusted, even though they were held in such high regard. Now, we know that there are people who are held in high regard in our culture, and even in the church, who are not to be trusted. They shouldn't be trusted because they're not telling the truth. When Jesus points this out, he says to them, to the people, that they, the Pharisees, have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Now, this can refer to a couple of different things. It's possible that there was an actual chair reserved for the teaching scribe or Pharisee to sit on as they expounded on the Old Testament scriptures. So there was a possible physical place where they sat. That makes sense. But it's also possible that Jesus was simply meant, that he simply meant that there was a position of leadership that was due to the Pharisees and as they taught the Old Testament scriptures. There seems to be some disagreement on whether there was a real chair or not. But the point here is the Pharisees liked being leaders, and they liked telling other people what they should do regarding the will of God as it pertains to the scriptures. Notice what Jesus says regarding their teaching. He says, therefore, that all they tell you to do and observe, you are to do. So he was giving them props, so to speak, of their position. They were meant to be teachers. So whenever they were hearing truth, whenever the people were hearing truth, they were supposed to be obedient to that truth. But part of the problem comes in Jesus' next phrase. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. Now, we've all met people like that. They talk a good game, right? They tell you what to do. Sometimes with some authority. But they themselves will not do it. They won't actually do what they teach. Well, what happens when we see that happening in another person's life? We hear them talking, but we don't pay any attention. It's a good word for Christians, because and I've told people this, if you're not going to live like a Christian, please don't call yourself a Christian, because it does damage to the rest of us. Don't say that I'm a believer when you don't live like a believer. It's better for you to keep your mouth shut than to say something and then not follow it up. Jesus says, don't do according to their deeds, because they say things and do not do them. So we're not going to pay any attention to them. For all our talk about loving Jesus and loving others, do we actually do these things in practice? That's something that we are called to do without question as believers. What is it that James says? But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and has gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So pay attention to people and pay attention to yourself. Are you doing what Christ is calling you to do? Are you talking a good game, but not doing the things you should? Prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. When we were youth leaders, we did this once as an illustration, and then we did it again because it was fun. But the illustration was this, with this James passage. We would have a mirror, and a full-length mirror, and we would have somebody stand and look at themselves in the mirror. And then for 30 seconds. And then we'd have them go on the other side of the mirror, talk to them for a minute, and then ask them questions about what they were wearing without letting them look at what they were wearing. It's amazing to me how much people forget about what they're wearing. What color shirt do you have on? You'd be amazed at how many people can't remember. They want to look. You know, that's cheating. And the whole point is how quickly we forget. That's the point. And so we did that, you know, and then they finished the lesson, and then later on, the kids said, you know, I think it can do better than that. And they wanted to do it again, but we switched it up a little bit. Messed with them some because it was fun. But the whole idea was they needed to remember to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. And that's true for us. The Pharisees were not effectual doers of the word. At least most of them weren't. Another thing that Jesus tells us about them is, and warns us about them, is they lacked sympathy for the people. Verse 4. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves were unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. All you have to do is read something about the Pharisees to see that they lacked sympathy. And it becomes clear the more you read about them. They were more interested in being followed and obeyed than they were about helping people. Think about the number of laws, many of them extremely obscure, that the Pharisees were charging the people with obeying. Over 600 laws that virtually buried the original law were required of the people. And the Pharisees were not helpful with this. They just expected you to be able to do it, or to do it. As one commentator put it, they so buried the law, you're making what they, that they deprived, let me start again. They so buried the law you're making, that they deprived men of their liberty and peace of mind. There was no joy in it, in following the law. Do you remember what they charged Jesus with in Matthew chapter 12? Think back a little bit. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of the grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And Jesus tells them later in Matthew, that chapter 12, that they didn't understand the purpose and meaning of the Sabbath. Here's what he said, what Jesus says in verse 7. "But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." So you have people who are wandering, that's Jesus and his disciples, and they're hungry. And they walk through a grain field, a wheat field, and they pick the grains of wheat. You know, when I was growing up, we had a few acres of wheat planted in our on our property, on our land. And we learned, because my dad showed me, that you could eat those grains right off the plant, and we could hardly wait until they got ready to do, because we could walk amongst the grain and just pick them and eat them. I loved it; it was great. But it's not work; it's just something that you do. But the Pharisees tried to make a point of it. Now, a few verses later, we see just how unsympathetic they are. Verse 10 says, "And a man was there whose hand was withered." And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. How unsympathetic can you get? Here's this guy who's got a bad hand. And Jesus, they're questioning Jesus about whether he should heal them or not. And Jesus points out their fallacy to them. He said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out?" So he points out that the problem with you guys is that you care more about your sheep than you do about this guy with the withered hand. And you're trying to make a point here that I should not heal him. Somehow that's against the law. Nobody is going, if they know about it, is going to leave that sheep in the pit until the next day. They're going to get him out. They would do what they could to rescue the sheep. Jesus continues, "How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep?" And here, not only does Jesus say, make his point on this, but he talks about the dignity of man. How much more important is the man than the sheep? We need to remember that when we're dealing with our culture today, who thinks differently, that that humankind does not have the dignity that we that God has created for us. How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then Jesus proceeded to heal the man with a withered hand. And we learn that the Pharisees' response to this was that they wanted to destroy him. Do good on the Sabbath. We want to kill you. The lack of sympathy produces a spirit of fear in the people. They know they're not going to get any help. They know that the outcome for them is that the people felt like their good deeds had to outweigh the bad deeds in order for them to get to heaven. Well, we know that's not the gospel. And that's not unlike some religions in our modern day. Rather than teach people how to properly obey and follow the law, the Pharisees taught them how to avoid the burden of the law. And they did so by their own actions, because they themselves did what they could to bypass legitimate obligation. And they showed that they were more than happy to do this for themselves rather than others. So Jesus warns the people that scribes and Pharisees lacked sincerity and lacked sympathy. Another thing that we know that the Pharisees lacked was humility. Verse 5 says, "But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men." This is another aspect of the Pharisees' activities that shows themselves most readily. It isn't hard to see when someone wants to be in the limelight. You ever met anybody like that? They're showboaters. They want to make sure that they're seen. And we know them, and they're show-offs. That's what the Pharisees were. They were show-offs. The first illustration that Jesus gives here is to prove his point, is how they were dressed. Now, I didn't have a picture. I should have gotten a picture, but the phylacteries and the tassels were important in the dress of the Pharisees. Phylacteries are small leather cases or boxes that hold scriptures, passages of scripture on little slips, and they're written, and they're one of these boxes is fastened to the forehead of the and the other to the left arm near the heart during prayer. So it's a show that they put on. And the idea of the phylacteries was that they were meant to be reminders to observe God's law out of gratitude for what he's done for his people. But what was happening is it was becoming part of a superstition that the phylacteries protected the wearer against harm and danger. So the Pharisees wanted to have these little boxes bigger. Because, not only because they were showing off, but because they believed that somehow bigger was better in this case. And so what they did with these boxes and the tassels was made them more obvious, so they would stand out to everyone who could see just how law-observing the man wearing them was. If you can imagine a tassel being wider and fancier. If you can imagine these little boxes being bigger, more scripture, right? Jesus goes on to point out that they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues. Jesus said in Luke 14, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited. Pharisees didn't believe that. They were the important ones. So they wanted to be in the best seats. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, there also comes a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand over here or sit at my footstool. James says here, he's condemning being partial to the rich man. And the Pharisees did not know anything about that. They wanted the best seats, the best spots. They loved to be honored in public by receiving respectful greetings. I can imagine that they walking down the road there in Jerusalem or wherever they were, and if someone did greet them respectfully, they got upset. If someone didn't treat them the way they thought they should be treated, they would think that they didn't get noticed the way they should or recognized as they should. So what Jesus does here is he commends humility to the Pharisees, and it's something that they really needed. Verse 8, do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on your earth father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. Jesus is condemning this desire for rank, for special recognition above and beyond others. He declares that he alone is their teacher. Spiritually speaking, Jesus says that there is only one Father who is in heaven. And he finishes by saying that Christ is their true leader. And to put the icing on the cake, so to speak, Jesus says in verse 11, but the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. This is the exact opposite of the way the Pharisees thought. But it is what Jesus expected out of the leaders of his day, and truthfully, out of each of us. Now, something this passage, in this passage that will be helpful for us is, in the passage to come, where Jesus condemns the Pharisees' actions, is to look ways that we can avoid becoming like Pharisees. Now, one of the things that I've noticed is there's often people who come across like the Pharisees, unfortunately. They like all the things that the Pharisees liked. They like the expensive seats. They like to be considered important, and they're upset when they're not. They like to be respected, and they're upset when they're not. So let's think about, with the things that Jesus has said by warning, how we can be careful not to become like the Pharisees. The first is this. If we are to demonstrate sincerity in our spiritual lives, we must do what the Pharisees would not. We must be hearers, not only hearers of the word, but doers. We know that we are not, that means not only taking the word, taking in the word, but applying it to our lives. It's a constant theme. We're to remember to apply God's word to our lives. And people will see it and begin to be able to put together your words with your actions. People need to be able to see us living out our faith in real time, not just talking about it. Secondly, Jesus tells us, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus invites us to find rest for our souls. This is another thing that the Pharisees would not do. They would not be helpful to their people. They were not trying to help them find peace. They wanted to be obedient. They wanted people to be obedient to them. And this is a message that we need to pass along to our overly anxious culture. They need to know that Jesus provides rest for their souls. Where can you find true gentleness and humility? In Jesus Christ. Where can you find rest for your souls? You can find it in Jesus. That means that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how your life is in upheaval, God will give you rest in Jesus Christ. He will help you work through it. He will give you a calmness of spirit that you know is not from you. You can find it in Jesus alone. The final thing from this passage that we can do so that we won't become like the Pharisees is demonstrate humility. There's a number of passages that remind us of the necessity as Christians to be humble. It would take a long time to go through all of that entire list. But the point is this: we are to put others first. The first will be last. That's the statement. We are to serve others. That's what Jesus meant by being a servant. That's what Paul is talking about in the book of Philippians. Let us humbly and boldly tell all people what Christ has done for us. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus has given himself on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And there's nothing that you can do to earn that gift. It's the free gift of God. I'm reminded, as we think of the Pharisees who did such a poor job of teaching people about Christ, that we're called to a higher calling. We're called not only to know Christ and to live for Christ, but we're called to tell people about why we do. Let's let them know how we've realized that we have rest for our souls. Let's demonstrate humility and say, you know what? I'm a sinner just like you. I deserve the same thing as you do. The difference is that I've received Christ as my Savior. And he has borne my penalty on himself. We don't have to be like Pharisees. We should not be like Pharisees. So let us be sincere and sympathetic and humble in sharing the gospel with people that need to hear it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you are our best example of these things. Will you help us, Lord, to live for you in such a way that people see what you've done in our lives, the work that you've done, the change that you have effected, and that our desire is to live like Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us and for the way that you help us to live for you by your Holy Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.